to share with you this morning about who are you following? Who are you following? And we're going to be reading a few verses of scripture out of the Luke chapter 9, 23 to 27, and then all 57, 62. Then Jesus said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, down to verse 57, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Father, I pray that you would help me to communicate what you want to speak into your people here this morning. I thank you for each person here, God, and I just pray your blessing to be upon each person. Bless our ears that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as I said, I want to share with you about who are you following? Who are you truly following? You know, it's easy for every one of us to say, "Well, I'm following Jesus. Like, don't you see me? I'm here in your church. I'm here to follow Jesus." And, we're Christians. We're followers. But sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, are we really following Jesus? See, there's a lot of people in our society, they think they're Christians. They go to church or maybe have membership in a church. They believe in Jesus. They think everything is fine with God, and maybe it's not. There's a lot of people claiming they're followers of Christ, but their behavior is causing people to doubt their claim that they're actually following Jesus Christ. And usually the biggest complaint that you'll hear from the world is that, well, they're living the same way I am, so what's really the difference? And that's something that we should be taking to heart honestly and looking at ourselves. And we also need to be real to the fact that there can be a lot of things done in our society today in the name of Jesus that have nothing to do with Jesus. And you can see that throughout history. Various things have happened throughout our history in the name of Jesus that had nothing to do with Jesus at all. And there's different gospels being preached around the world, but different gospels even being preached by Christians. And even the North American Christianity, where some say, well, some sin is bad and other sin is okay. And we see a lot of taking sin lightly, excusing sin, refusing to be accountable, refusing to be honest and to repent of sin. And it would seem from a worldly point of view that Christians are confused to what it really means to be a true follower of Jesus. So we really need to get back to what the Bible says. That's what's really important. When you look at all the things happening in our world, all the things that are happening in our society, you always got to measure things back to the Word of God. And the Bible clearly tells us that sin is serious business with God. And after all, it took the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we all could be forgiven. And so, but to be forgiven, you must repent, the Bible says. Needs to come that place of repentance that leads to a changed life. And, you know, there's so much false teaching in our world today, even in the Christian circles, and of what it really means to be a Christian. And a lot of Christians are becoming very confused of what it is or what it involves actually to be a Christian. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. And that's something all of us need to do. We need to be looking at ourselves to make sure that the faith that we do have is a true faith. Some weeks back, we spoke about those passages of Scripture that were challenging people's idea of whether or not they were really a Christian or not. And we heard those words, Lord, Lord, but Lord, I did this and I did that. Well, surely I can come into your kingdom. And those words where he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Or that you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Those are some pretty scary passages of Scriptures that we looked at a few weeks back. And so the Bible really does encourage us to examine our faith and to look at what we're doing and to see if we are truly following Jesus Christ. Now, there's many enjoyable things that we can enjoy in this life, and that's wonderful, it's great. There's lots of things I enjoy in this life, but we need to be careful of what pursuit that we really follow. Is Jesus our pursuit, or is something else really our pursuit that is driving us in our lives? In the verses that end chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, again, Jesus is challenging people's idea of what a follower of Jesus Christ really is or what it really involves. And it's interesting as he ask that question to people, I want you to follow me, that they come up with some very legitimate excuses. But you'll see that Jesus is not interested in our excuses. And if there are things that God is calling you to do and wants you to do, and you're coming up with a list of excuses, he's not interested in your excuses. He's interested in you doing what he has called you to do. We are called to be followers or disciples of Christ. And that needs to be a priority in our lives. And so this morning, I thought I'd just take a look at that, because it really reminds us of what is really true Christianity. What does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And so I just want to take a look at this passage in Luke 9:23 and the verses following, and just to quickly look at that, what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. So first of all, in choosing to follow Jesus, one needs to turn from, the Bible says, turn from your selfish ways, be willing to deny yourselves. Many passages use that word instead, to deny yourself and to make that a priority in your life to follow Christ and to do his will. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Or some translations say, you must deny yourself. You need to deny yourself of your own desires, your own wants, and choose to make the Lord's desires and his wants for your life become the priority for your life. We're to live for him, not for ourselves, but to live for him. And that's easy to say, but not always easy to do, because there's a struggle as we battle with what we want to do and what God is wanting to do. And we need to get that place where we submit ourselves to what he is wanting us to do. So we turn from our selfish ways, we deny ourselves that we might do his will. Matthew 6:33 gives a good summation as well. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's what it's talking about. When we turn from our selfish ways, when we deny ourselves, we're saying, I'm going to be focusing about the kingdom of God. And it's really about prioritizing your faith in Christ above all other desires. And so to be a follower, Christ is going to be first in your life. He's going to become your biggest pursuit. He's going to be your biggest hero. He's going to be, you know, the American idol. Well, he's going to be your idol that you're going to follow, because you know he's leading you in the right direction. Now, if we choose to ignore that and begin to follow our own desires, which is a temptation every one of us face, we all have to deal with that. We all have to face times where we battle within ourselves over our desires versus God's desires. And that's something that takes place. But if we're not careful, we really can get ourselves into a lot of trouble when we begin to choose our own desires over God's ways. It's rather interesting as you read the scriptures, how they sometimes explain it and give it out in detail, because sometimes, you know, we need to hear it exactly what God is saying. And this is what he says in the Word of God, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. These are the things that are going to happen if we want to follow our sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. For me as a pastor, I find it very alarming to see Christians, pastors, evangelists today excusing their behavior, excusing their sin. And if you haven't noticed, there's been even a lot of very high-profile pastors that the world has caught in very blatant sin. And some of them are confessing it, some of them are repenting, and some are trying to still deny it and say, no, no, it's okay, it doesn't matter, God doesn't mind. And that's really sad to see out there. And so it's very important that we deny ourselves. We turn from our selfish ways. The kingdom is about him, it's not about us. And we need to remind ourselves of that. So we need to be reminded of the seriousness of following our own selfish ways over God's ways. Obviously, we all need to get back to that place where we deny ourselves and keep our selfish ways and check. So to be a true follower of Jesus, we will deny ourselves. We will turn and let go of the selfish desires that may be in our hearts. We'll let go of those things that our society and some Christians are encouraging, and we're going to be rather focusing on what God wants and what his will is for our lives. You know, and that's something we need to be praying about. God, what's your will? What do you want me to do? Sometimes we just think that God approves of what we're doing, when God may not be approving of it at all. Even if it looks spiritual, it may not be what God wants us to do. The Bible says that we're to pray. Jesus led us in that prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to be conscious and to be praying about the will of God for our lives. Because it's not about us. It's all about him. And so to be a follower of Jesus, there's going to be some battles of the will. And we're going to need to learn how to deny ourselves of our selfish desires, those things that maybe are pulling at us that we're wanting to do, and to set it aside and say, God, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to follow you. I'm going to pursue you all the days of my life. So that's the first part. You deny yourself. You turn from your selfish ways. Second area that Jesus mentions here in being a true follower of Christ, he says, take up your cross. Now, that has a whole lot of meaning in there. Luke 9, 23, Jesus said, the crowd of any of you wants to be my follower or my disciple, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily. Taking up that cross is a symbol of death, crucifixion. It's putting to death our old way of living, our old desires, and chasing after a new desire and a new choice to now live for Jesus. Even to die for Jesus. You know, we need to remember that when people carried their cross in the Roman days, it was a one-way trip. It wasn't something that you go so far and you could set it aside and then turn around and go back and you're free. No, that cross meant you're going to die. You're going to die. And that's something we need to realize, that in our faith, are we willing to die for our faith? That's happening around our world. Not just in the United States. I know there's been a lot of information about that one. But, you know, that's a daily occurrence in our society today. And a lot of our Muslim countries. Our speaker the other week, 2 weeks ago, was talking about in northern Nigeria, how many people, Christians, have been slaughtered. Happened in India. It's happening in Iran, Iraq, China, all kinds of countries around the world. People are dying for their faith. And so are you willing to take up a cross? Are you willing to go that far that you would be willing to die for your faith? That's a tough one. especially in our North American society. In a lot of the other countries of the world, they're ready for that. They become a Christian, they're ready right at that spot to die for their faith. In North America, you know, we're a little more calmer. You know, we don't see that too often, and so we don't really think about it. But we should be thinking about it. Are you willing to die for your faith? So our view of commitment to Christ really needs to be raised up a level, because a lot of the North American Christianity is not even Christianity. And we need to get back to our faith and be willing, even if it was called on, to die for our faith. And you know, as you read the scriptures and we come near to the return of Christ, it also talks about many people will die for their faith. So are you willing to pick up a cross? That would mean even your own physical death. But it's more than that. It also talks about that to take up your cross is to look at, to burn the bridge back to the old life. That when you decide to become a Christian, you know, there's not this back and forth thing. Well, you know, I kind of miss a few things of the world now, so I'm going to go back and do those things. Or you start to hear some of these new preachers, and they're telling you, oh, that's not really a sin, and you shouldn't have to, don't worry about that. It's okay. And we get all these Christians going back to the things that they've done in the world that God convicted them of. Wasn't a person that told them they couldn't do it. God convicted them off, but then they're going back and doing those things, thinking, well, I heard from a preacher that it's okay to do those things. You don't go back. It's death. Death to the old life. Death to the old ways. You don't go back and change your mind or convictions and pick up the ways of the world again. And again, very, very strong message in Scripture. And, you know, again, sometimes we just need the Scripture to spell it out for us, because sometimes we get confused out there. Colossians 3:3-10 are some pretty heavy scriptures that talk to us about things that are to be put to death. It says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when you were still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator, become like Him. You know, sometimes you really need the Bible to spell it out for us. And I know sometimes we wish that it was spelled out even more to connect with some of the things of our own society that we're dealing with in our own lives. But to take up your cross is putting some things to death in your life. That you're choosing, I'm no longer going to follow in these areas that God considers as evil or wrong. I'm going to put them to death. They're not going to be part of my life anymore. I'm not going back, you know, no turning back. I'm only going forward with Jesus Christ. So taking up your cross involves death, it involves sacrifice, involves God's will over our own will, and even when there's a legitimate activity, sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to give this up because there's nothing wrong with it, and you're 100% correct. Lots of times there are things that God may be speaking to us, and there's nothing morally wrong with those things. But if God tells you to give it up, guess what? You give it up. You don't have an excuse. You don't argue with them. You say, okay, God, I'll give it up. I don't know why you want me to give it up, but if you're telling me to give this up, then I will do it for you. Again, all part of taking up your cross. And this here is a daily process. You know, it's something you work on daily. It doesn't just happen, you know, one-time choice and you're good. No, it's things you battle with every day of your life because, you know, We're human beings. We're always struggling with the temptations and the pressures and the desires in our hearts and the desires of our society. And so it's something you got to work at daily in your life, that we might honor Christ and might follow His will. And Romans 12 kind of talks about that as well. It says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's so important that we allow God to transform us. He changes our way of thinking. A lot of our thinking is not good thinking because our thinking is kind of, you know, from what we see out there in our world, what we see in our social media or things that are happening around us, and that sometimes we get trained to believe those things as truth when they're not the truth, and that's not what God is wanting to do. We need to hear from the Lord for ourselves. Take up your cross. Be willing to put to death old desires, old ways, choosing to go forward with Christ. No turning back, even if, God forbid, that would cost us our very lives. We need to take our faith that seriously, willing to deny ourselves, even to sacrifice some things, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, in following Christ, we need to make that choice to follow him, which kind of a no-brainer here. If you're going to follow Christ, then obviously you should be following him. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, follow me. And that's kind of a no-brainer. If you're going to be a follower of someone, obviously then you need to be getting in line and following them. Get in line, follow your Lord. He's the one that you're choosing to follow, desiring that he would lead us, he would guide us. So we're following him. And he has a different drum that when we're listening to him than what the world is saying for us to do. And as you follow him, he will lead you in places that sometimes will surprise you, sometimes you may not understand. But God, we want to stay in that realm where he leads us and that we follow after him. John 12:26 says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Are we following Jesus? Are we where Jesus is at? What's on Jesus' heart? Sometimes we think we know, and then sometimes we kind of get embarrassed because we find out that, oh, I guess that was kind of more my own desire or this other person's desire. I was kind of following. It's a good thing, but it wasn't really what God was wanting for me. That's sometimes a difficult battle that we need to find out. What does God really want for my life? What does he really want me to do? It's one of the things that as pastors we struggle with as we lead churches, that God, what are you wanting us to do? There's so many things, and everyone is out there, and they're telling us this good thing, this thing, and this thing. And it's sometimes it becomes very difficult and hard as a pastor. Well, God, where do you want to direct us? Where do you want to direct this church? And that's always a battle that pastors got to draw close to the Lord to hear what the Lord is saying versus what everybody else is saying. Are we following him? Is Jesus our superstar? You know, is he our famous one? A lot of us know, you know, all these talented musicians that are out there and huge, huge followings, hockey stars, football stars, all these kinds of things, huge followings. But who are you following? Who's your superstar? Well, Jesus is supposed to be our superstar. Jesus is supposed to be that person that we look up to and that we want to be a part of his fan club, not at some other fan club. This pursuit should be so strong that even our society would take note of, those are definitely followers of Jesus, those people. And again, that's kind of a question we need to ask ourselves. Do people even know? Can they tell that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Because that should be something that people see. It should be so strong. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 talks about the Jewish leaders, and they're recognizing that Peter and John were with Jesus, and this is what they said. It says, the members of the council were amazed, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Do people see that in us? Can someone just look at us and see our lives and say, they got to be a follower of Christ? Are you a follower? True followers stay close to Jesus. They don't turn back. They don't leave him. And sadly, sometimes we see that. We see people that once, at one time, decided to follow Jesus, but then, you know, things of life, things happened, and suddenly they drifted away and began to follow somebody or something else. We need to stay followers of Christ. We need to stay followers of Christ all the way. You know, and again, you know, when people walk away from the Lord, we need to realize that really grieves God. Really grieves his heart. John chapter 6, it talks about a story where there was a number of disciples following Jesus. The number had increased greatly. It was over 70-some disciples had followed Christ and were doing great things. But when they realized that it was going to come to a cost, there was going to be a cost to following him, there's a lot of them that turned away. We read that in John 6, 66. It says, at this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted Jesus. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you going to leave? And Simon replied with these famous words, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you're the Holy One of God. You need to keep following. There will be costs, as we just said a few moments ago. That's part of being a disciple. But you need to make that choice. I'm going to keep following Jesus no matter what. No matter what. Hell or high water, I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. Then lastly, in being a follower of Jesus, you need to be willing to give up your life to follow Christ in whatever way he asks. Chapter 9 of Luke 24, 25 says, you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed? You know, the temptation that we all face in life is to focus on our own lives, our own desires. It's very easy to do that. And the world can be a great place. It offers many good things, but not everything is good. And we need to be careful of being caught up in the pursuits of this world. We are not supposed to be like the world. We are not supposed to have the same pursuits of the world. As parents, we're not to be doing the same pursuits as what the rest of the world is doing. Even for our children, we have different pursuits. We're to watch that. What does it say in 1 John 2? It says, do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. We need to be willing to give up our lives, all of our lives, for Christ. To surrender our lives, to follow him, to do what he wants us to do over our wants, over our desires. And again, easy to say, not so easy to do. It can be really tough as we battle with some of those desires that we have within us. Even though they may be good desires, if God is directing us somewhere else, we need to follow what he will say. I love how Simon, Peter, James, and John, they responded when Jesus was calling them. Luke 5:11 says, as soon as they landed off out of the boat, they left everything and followed Jesus. That's quite powerful. They left everything, followed Jesus. Left all their equipment, left their boats, fishing gear, all those things, and said, I'm ready to follow you right now, and I'm willing to give up everything that this world can offer to follow you. And that's part of being a follower of Christ, that you're willing to give up everything, even your life, and leave everything else behind to follow Jesus. I like the perspective that was given here in Luke 9:25 as well. It says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? Is it really worth it to go try and pursue all these other things of life and you lose your soul, you end up going to hell instead of heaven? Is it really worth that? That's something we really need to think about. Is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more chasing after that would lead you that you would miss heaven and miss eternity? That's a good thing to keep in mind. Are you willing to give Christ your life? All of it. Because that's part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to a close on this part, you know, not too many Christians like to talk about true discipleship and what it involves to be a true follower of Jesus. But we always need to base our faith on what the Word of God says. That's something that's very important to us as a church here at Bethel, that we want to follow what the Word of God is saying and to kind of bring all those desires that are out there and to bring it in to be in alignment with what God's Word says and what God is saying by His Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says, turn or deny yourselves, turn from selfish ways, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and decide there is no turning back. Whatever happens in life, I am still going for it with Christ. And yet we, again, our excuses come up, right? Oh, well, this happened to me, that hurt me, and this person hurt me, and I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore because this happened in church, that happened. Listen, when you make a choice, you stick with it no matter what happens. We're actually to follow, get close to Jesus, give our lives up for Jesus. And I think it's maybe sometimes good to ask ourselves, how are we doing in all those areas? Are we really following Jesus? Or are we actually following some things else? Something else or someone else? Who are you following?